Well, hello everyone. Good evening. I know there was a serious lack of music there, and you could hear my microphone. As Orion pointed out, hot mic! Yeah, I'm just now finishing transferring everything into this new system, and so all my files ended up in different places, so then when I try to call up the music, it doesn't come. But, you know, that's just the way we do here on the JMAC podcast. Paul Pickett joins us on Facebook. He says, hey, Jay from Murray. Jenny joins us from Logan. Orion joins us from his couch. How's everybody doing tonight? I have to tell you, just watching the news cycle today, there are things going on. I'm not sure how many of them jump off the page for me. Maybe there's something out there that you're watching. I'd love to know what stories are impacting you today. I mean, that condo collapse in Miami, or not Miami, but Florida. Unbelievable situation there. President Biden came to an agreement with certain Republicans, including Mitt Romney, on an infrastructure deal. Looking at compromise is something that shocks me nowadays. And I always say it's too good to be true. And then Nancy Pelosi turns around and says, we're not passing that thing until we get this other stuff through. So, you know, there's that. So I'm watching the infrastructure. Biden is going to roll out, or has rolled out, or it's talking about rolling out a plan for gun violence. You know, I have my eyes on that. And I'll be going through that. But other than that, I don't know what's burning you up. I've got a couple of things on my list. Orion says the condo collapse. Holy smokes. David on Twitter says Facebook is cursed right now, so I'm going here. That's right. If Facebook has a problem, you can join us on the YouTube channel as well. Mike is joining us. Mike, you're out there in Florida. Are you nearby where this condo collapsed? I'm sure it's getting wall-to-wall coverage in Florida right now. Paul Pickett tells us he's concerned about wants to talk about Giuliani losing his law license. That is on my agenda tonight. And the Biden infrastructure deal. Well, it's a deal in... it's an agreement in principle, or so I'd have to see the specifics. And again, there was enough Republicans involved to where it would allow the Democrats to overcome the filibuster and be able to pass this. President Biden came out today and said that both sides compromised and that this is what it's supposed to look like. So I'll have to wait and see, and I'll have to watch. I will tell you that when it comes to infrastructure, I do believe that the federal government has a role in this. But I always, when they say that this will create jobs, I always have a problem with that. We heard it from President Obama back during the 08 recession, because during that recession, we were losing jobs in specific industries. And so they come out with this long-term infrastructure plan. And my thought was, why aren't we doing things to save jobs now? Isn't it better to save a job than it is to create a job? And especially a job that takes a long time and a job that only is filled by certain types of people? So while I'm not against investing in infrastructure, I think that's important. When it's touted as a jobs bill or something that can help us out in the short term, I'm not buying that. That's not reality. Now, Obama did do a couple of things that did save jobs. And to me, these were an example of what you do if you're trying to save jobs. The Cash for Clunkers program was a great way to spur the economy and to help save the auto industry and save jobs in the auto industry. And the first-time buyers program in real estate. These were both things that created instant incentive for people to participate in commerce. To me, jobs creation through infrastructure investment They're not permanent full-time jobs. They're not immediate jobs. That is a side effect of infrastructure investment. It does create jobs, but it's not anything that should be touted in a recession or in short term or whatever, because it just doesn't work that way. Mike says he's about 45 minutes away from the condo collapse. Are we all like wondering if we're in a secure building? And I'm sure we're going to see story after story now about our buildings inspected on a regular basis. This is going to open up a whole nother can of worms and reporting about those types of things. Paul Pickett also says, number three, John Curtis seemingly changing his tune on global warming. There's a couple of tune changes going on out there that are interesting to me. I'm following them, not prepared to fully come on the show and talk about them and break them down yet. There's Representative Curtis, like you said, Paul. And there's also several Democrats out and Eric Holder out saying that they wouldn't mind voter ID requirements as long as they're fair and implemented properly. And I'm like, well, that's a strange turnaround. So watching for that, Mike says he sold cars during Cash for Clunkers. It was a disaster. Well, it may have been a disaster in many ways, and you would know better than me. But it did spur on commerce, and it did get people spending and borrowing. Was it perfection? No, probably not. He says many dealers waited forever to get government checks that took upwards of a year to get. And David says, I'm pretty sure John Curtis always had that stance on global warming. Could be wrong. Yeah, I'm not prepared to dive into Curtis's history here. But again, all of those things are on my radar. And if you have any other questions for me, we could do an Ask Me Anything tonight, anything that you want to talk about. I wanted to start out talking about election lies. And, you know, we've talked about these in depth. And some of the things that were talked about when Rudy Giuliani and the MyPillow guy and the Kraken Sidney Powell were out making their accusations, some of the things that I said and many other legal experts said is that these people are putting themselves into legal jeopardy. And you'll notice that when President Trump spoke, he didn't ever speak in specifics. He spoke in generalities, and that was very smart on his part. One of the reasons why he's not facing larger ramifications is because he didn't do those things. He also didn't file fraud in a court of law. He didn't use the word fraud in a court of law. He didn't allege fraud in a court of law because there could be ramifications there. So he kind of... protected himself and let those people carrying the water, Mike Lindell, Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell, he let them carry the water. Well, now they're being sued by Dominion because they did allege specific things. And when you're out alleging specific things and those allegations are hurting a business, there can be far-reaching ramifications from that. We learned that when Oprah Winfrey went after the beef industry, remember? There can be long and widespread ramifications for that. And they're now facing those. And what I find very interesting is this is going to be a very good test. Because if what they were saying was true, then they should be able to march that truth into a court of law and say, it wasn't libel. It's true. Here it is. Here's the evidence. Everything that Mike Lindell has presented, everything that they all thought that they had as evidence, well, that should all now come into play and be marched into a court of law. Is it going to happen? let's see. A couple of you are saying Facebook is having some problems. This is Mike. He says desktop desktop site is failing hard. The mobile site is working, though. And then he has switched over to YouTube as well. So this is Mike. He'll show up from YouTube as Ravencrest Media. Orion says, I don't understand why environmental conservation doesn't go hand in hand with political conservatism. It should. The reason, Orion, is because conservatives and the right are about business rights. They're about industry. They're about capitalism. And so they have a hard time walking the line between keeping businesses open and not putting a lot of regulations on them and then saving the environment as well. I too believe that they can go hand in hand, but it's difficult for some to walk that line. So back to the election fraud. Sorry for jumping around here. So some of these ramifications, some of these far-reaching ramifications for being out there in the public eye and making serious allegations of voter fraud and not having tangible evidence to back those things up. Remember, Trump has always spoken in generalities. Rudy Giuliani did not. And Rudy Giuliani is now paying a price.
Panel concluded that there is uncontroverted evidence that Giuliani communicated demonstrably false and misleading statements to courts, to lawmakers, and to the public at large in his capacity as a lawyer for former President Trump and the Trump campaign in connection with Trump's failed effort at re-election in 2020. They concluded that what he did is a threat to the public interest, which is why he has now been suspended from the practice of law.
And there again, Giuliani should be able to present to the court his evidence. No, here's why I said this. Should be simple. Remember, there were mountains of evidence. Remember, there all the binders of affidavits that never made it into a court of law. Not because a judge wouldn't allow them, but because they didn't present them in a court of law. It should be so easy for Giuliani to prove that he had reason to say those things, right? He can't, because he had no tangible evidence. He still has no tangible evidence, just like Trump had no tangible evidence of widespread voter fraud. And we all should have known that, because he has been making voter fraud allegations for 4 years without any evidence to support that. And you know, my question is, and maybe you've seen these stories. I haven't seen the stories. Maybe you can help me out. Is there any word that Trump is helping Giuliani pay for his legal fees? Have any of you seen that? Is there any word that Trump is supporting Sidney Powell and her legal fees? Or I haven't seen anything. Maybe we could do a quick, should we do a quick search here and see? Let's see, let's go to the Google. And let's see. Oh, look at that. You can see my, you can see my searches. good thing I've got nothing to hide there. let's see, Trump helping with legal fees for Sid. Is that how you say it? Sidney Powell. Let's start there, because she was the Kraken, man. She was. Let's see. I don't. So this is a. Let's see. I don't see anything. Are you guys aware of anything? I mean, these guys went on such a limb for Trump. Do you see him out there defending them? Do you see him out there helping them with their legal fees? Um, This is Mike. He says, which courts allowed Giuliani to present the evidence he claimed to have? When was that hearing? No, you're missing the point, Mike. Giuliani never tried to present that evidence. Trump never tried to present that evidence. I have read every legal filing that was filed with Donald J. Trump's name on it. He never alleged fraud in a court of law. He never presented those affidavits in a court of law. That's why you haven't seen the hearing, because what you do is you file a legal brief with the judge and you say, judge, here's the evidence we're going to present, and here's what we're alleging, and here's what we're going to present. He never presented. He never alleged the word fraud in a court of law. I don't know how many times I can say this. He never alleged fraud in a court of law. He never presented those affidavits in a court of law. They held them up to you in a binder, but they did not make it into the legal briefs. That's why you haven't seen the case, because he didn't allege it. But then he'll turn around and let you believe that these judges refused to hear his cases on fraud. No, he never presented or used the word fraud or alleged fraud in a court of law. But they did that all the time in the court of public opinion. Why wouldn't you present it in a court of law? Why wouldn't you do that? And why wouldn't you be out now supporting Powell, Lindell, and Giuliani? Why wouldn't you be offering to pay their legal fees? Of course, he is paying his own legal fees. He's got his own crisis going on, right? And then, so tomorrow, oh, actually it was today. Let's see, today, so Rudy Giuliani gets his law license suspended. And then him and Sidney Powell and Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, they were all in court today. Let me see if there's anything new on that. Let's go back and see if there was any result of the court hearing. Bear with me here. Just want to make sure there's been no update. Okay, so they were in court. And they are asking for the case to be thrown out. And this is Dominion Elections who are suing them for defamation. A federal judge on Thursday, I can show this to you. Let's see. A federal judge on Thursday weighed whether to dismiss Dominion's defamation lawsuits. He seems skeptical of arguments from lawyers for Rudy Giuliani, Mike Lindell, and Sidney Powell. Dominion is suing all three Trump allies over election conspiracy theories. And again, these allegations are damaging to their business, because if states believe that their systems can be hacked, then those states are going to go somewhere else for their business. So they have a vested interest in the truth getting out here. And what's so cool about these lawsuits is that they should be a perfect opportunity to present their evidence to a judge about all the things they said about Dominion. Right? I mean, think about this. If their allegations are true and there's widespread evidence of voter fraud and problems with these Dominion systems, then a defamation lawsuit from Dominion should be a cakewalk. Shouldn't it? It should be a cakewalk. March that evidence in. Make your case. Counter sue Dominion. And also let the world see. Let the world see all of these mountains of evidence that you have. Let the world see. Let's see. Orion says, as soon as Rudy goes to jail, Trump will say he doesn't know him. Giuliani, who is that guy? I don't know him. This is Mike. He says, I have yet to see any legacy media coverage of anything Trump has said or done shy of announcing he's gone to the border to game VP to go. Well, I guess El Paso is close enough. I don't understand the point, Mike. Are we attacking Democrats again when Republicans are being held accountable? Clarify your point. I don't want to jump to any conclusions. Dave Long joins us. Hey, Dave. Good to see you. He says 3D chess? Yeah, that's what this is. 3D chess. Alleged fraud to the American people. Don't present a fraud case in a court of law. Then allow your three primary supporters of election fraud, one of them till you lose their law license, all three of them to be sued for defamation. Don't support them and and don't present evidence in a court of law. I mean, there's supposed to be mountains of evidence. Mike is clarifying. Thanks, Mike. No, just saying that the legacy media ignores Trump for the most part. But they blame him for everything still months after he's out of office. Mike, so that's a media thing? No, that's a political thing. I mean, Trump blamed Obama for everything. For everything. And that's just the political game. I've never gone after Trump for blaming Obama for everything because that's what you do. The next guy gets in and they're like, I got to fix all these problems that were created by my predecessor. So, you know, that's just par for the course, if you ask me. But I'd love to see it if you see any stories out there about Trump coming to the aid of these three people. I have seen stories that Trump is still claiming that the election was stolen. He still believes it. I think he does believe it. And that even close family members are distancing themselves because he is clinging to these claims so much. Mike says, YouTube comments limited to 200 characters. Sorry for the parse comments. No problem. I'll just be a little bit more patient and I'll try not to jump to any conclusions about what you say until your comments come in. You did mention Vice President Harris going to the border finally. Is that tomorrow she'll be in El Paso? Finally makes it to the border after being put in charge of the border. We've talked about that on this program as well. I just think that I wish that I could scream it to the nation that this is a perfect opportunity for Trump and his three main supporters of election fraud to prove to the American people that the fraud happened. Drag that information into these courtrooms. Drag those affidavits into these courtrooms. All of the evidence that you say you have, finally you can present it in a court of law. You never tried to present it in a court of law before. This is a perfect example. Michael on Facebook says Trump will never help them. It's all about him. Yeah, We all know that to be true, don't we? Let's see. Paul Pickett says Trump just posted yesterday that there are 100,000 voters purged from the vote rolls in Georgia. He says that proves he won in Georgia. What, the fact that he said it proves it? Or that he has evidence that proves it? Because here again, he's making allegations out in the court of public opinion. Just can't seem to get those into a court of law. Let's see. David says, I mean, his fundraiser charged his supporters every month without their knowledge, so I don't expect him to have any compassion with his lawyers. We did rack up all this money. Don't you think he could help them out with their legal fees? Ryan, Trump persecuted Obama for years with birtherism, baloney. Obama was nice and never retaliated. I bet Obama regrets that now. I would have been nothing for Obama to have used the DOJ in 2013 to smoke that orange potato. And then Mike is responding, nah, Orion, Obama sent spies to the Trump campaign in 2016 instead. It's not true, Mike. What happened when Trump says he was wiretapped and those kind of things is if you read the reports and the studies, what happened was that the person who was wiretapped was a Trump campaign aide, and he wasn't tapped until after he left the campaign. And he was tapped because of his relationship and trips to Russia. So we need to be careful in what we believe. Mike says, confidential informants. Yeah, those are spies, my friend. Trump was not wiretapped. There were a lot of Trump, unfortunately, chose some people who had some direct ties with Russia and who failed to disclose those ties and failed to register properly. And they drew attention. And the allegation has been made that because there was attention on those people, that attention was attention on the Trump campaign. So you see, here's what's so crazy about all of that. And I'll cast your mind back to 2016. Nobody thought Trump was going to win. Nobody thought Trump was a threat. Are you suggesting, are people suggesting that people would compromise the Constitution, that they would violate wiretapping laws, surveillance laws, that they would do all of these things for a candidate that nobody believed would win? That's the fallacy of all of this. Like, even after Trump won the nomination, he never led in the polls. He was never within 10% of the polls. Even Trump himself was surprised he won. But in order for them to go to the lengths that people claim that they went, they would have had to have believed that this guy was the biggest threat ever to their campaigns. But that was never the case. Trump was a laughingstock to them. And all of their polling showed that this guy was going to lose. They certainly didn't think he was going to win the primary. And then when he was in the general, they didn't think that he was going to win. And Mike, this is where I'm going to have a little bit of issue with you. You say, well, Obama had no problem with selling weapons to drug cartels south of the border, and for years they claimed he stole the election, and they did not. It's like you make a claim, and then I tell you the reality of that claim, and so you just move on to the next claim. That bothers me. I'm just going to be honest with you, Mike. That frustrates me. Because it just seems then the goal is to just attack Obama. The goal is not to get to some sense of truth or reality. I mean, if the goal is to just go after the guy no matter what, and when somebody counters something you say, and you're just going to move on to the next thing, please know that's frustrating. Mike says, I appreciate your honesty. And I want you to know your comments are welcome here. I'm just sharing with you that it's frustrating to me. because people will regurgitate the lies about what Obama did or not do about the Trump campaign, and someone will correct those lies, and then it's just like, will Obama this? Take a minute and stop and reflect back that you may have believed something and even perpetuated something that was not true, that was not accurate. Think about that. You know, because we could go back and forth. I mean, you know, I'm a big fan of Reagan, but then there's the Iran-Contra. I mean, we can go back and we can, you know, if we just want to have a bash fest and just talk about everything bad that every president did, Obama did good things. Obama did bad things, right? But we're specifically talking here about, I mean, all of this side discussion is coming off of what Trump did and his allegations and the big lie. And somehow we're over here now with Obama. You see what I mean? It's kind of weird. I don't know. But again, keep the comments coming, and we could stay friends as always, of course, Mike. You know that. Okay, so Trump is not coming to their aid. And they have a perfect opportunity to present their evidence in a court of law. They will not. They will not. Because they simply do not have evidence of widespread voter fraud. It does not exist. Full stop. It doesn't exist. And everybody should have known that when Trump made the claim of millions voting illegally in 2016. Everyone should have known that when he claimed election fraud 3 weeks before the election even happened. Everybody should have known that. And I always have this standing by too. One of my favorites. I always have this standing by. Trump in 2016 when he lost the Iowa caucus to Ted Cruz. What did Trump do? What allegation did he make? He tweeted out, based on the fraud committed by Senator Ted Cruz during the Iowa caucus, either a new election should take place or Cruz results nullified. Every single time Trump loses, it's election fraud. Every single time. Let's learn this, let's figure it out, and let's move on. Let's see. I'm going to have to clarify again. Mike says, for 4 years, Democrats said Trump stole the election, that Russia rigged it with no evidence. Why then now, when the shoe is on the other foot, you don't ask questions? No, Trump was not accused of stealing the election. I think you're recreating history. The allegation was that Russia meddled in the election. There was never an allegation that Russia stole it, that Russia fabricated or ballots, or that got into polling elections. There was an investigation into Russian meddling in the election, and that investigation was proven to be true. Russia did meddle in the election. All of the allegations about Russian meddling bore out. They happened. Now, there was no evidence that their meddling handed the election to Trump. But there was absolute evidence that they were trying to get Trump elected. Their meddling occurred on social media. This investigation happened and it was confirmed. They meddled in the election. That's 100% what happened. And they wanted Trump. That's what happened. That's the history of what happened. Travis says, looking sharp tonight, Jay. New haircut, beard trim? Actually, no. Just before I went on, I had all kinds of flyers in my hair. And I couldn't brush him down, so I wet it down a little bit. But thank you. Thank you. Ravencrest or Mike says, the meddling amounted to a few dozen FBI ads. You go back and read the report. If you're simplifying it into a few dozen FBI ads, you're either purposefully minimizing it or you don't know the extent of what happened. They created massive fake news campaigns that were spread across Facebook and then spread over to the internet. And the people who spread them were conservatives who liked the messages of those things but never bothered to find out if they were true. This was a massive campaign. It was not a few dozen Facebook ads, Mike. Please don't downplay it. And he says it was seen by maybe a few thousand people. Mike. Oh, go back, my friend. Go back. Many of those fake news stories actually ended up being picked up by media outlets. This was no joke. And we shouldn't downplay it, because what should have happened as a result is Trump should have gone after Russia. But Trump was so busy running from the story that he couldn't hold Russia accountable. He was so busy running from meddling that he couldn't hold Putin accountable. So here's Putin meddling in our election, doing everything in his power to influence the election, and the commander-in-chief is refusing to hold him accountable because he's so afraid of how the story makes him look. That's the story of Russian meddling. That's the story. That a major adversary of the United States was not held accountable for trying to meddle in our election. Why? Because of the commander-in-chief's ego. That's the story. Now, you can try and blame Democrats for that. You can try and blame the media for that. But here's a crazy idea. Why don't you try blaming Russia for that? And why don't you try and blame Trump for not holding Russia accountable to anything? To me, that's the story. That's the issue. We ought not to be downplaying what Russia did. We ought to be holding Russia accountable and saying, don't mess with us. Because what you did is wrong. To me, that's the issue. All right. Anything else on your mind? I have one other story here. It's a COVID story. And it has to do with life expectancy. A huge report out from the CDC. You know, many people believe the myth that the death rate has not gone up when it comes to COVID. It was all flu deaths. And that the excess death rate has not gone up, which is not true. Death rates have gone up in every country that has had COVID dramatically. And now this new report from the CDC says that as a direct result of COVID, the life expectancy numbers for Americans has gone down for the first time since, what's the number, 1943, I think.
This morning, new data showing just how deadly this virus has been. The CDC reporting U.S. life expectancy dropped in the first half of 2020, shaving off at least 1 year of life. It's the biggest decrease since World War II.
And while that doesn't sound like a whole lot at a population level, this is a huge decline.
For minorities, the toll even greater. Black Americans losing nearly 3 years. Hispanics just shy of two.
So you can see that every country, their numbers are now going down as well. So life expectancy from COVID. Now, this will be a short-term effect, I hope. Hang on, I'm doing a quick search here. Give me a second. Let's see. This is Mike again talking about the Russian meddling. He says, Jay, look at the CBS News link, my good man. It's there. The reach of the Facebook ads amounts to a hill of beans when considering the election turnout. So, Mike, I already stipulated that the meddling did not influence the election results. I already said that, so I don't know why you're disputing that with me. The allegation was that Russians meddled in the election through these fake news campaigns. Now, I don't have to go to a CBS link, and I will tell you why. I read the entire Mueller report multiple times. I know what's in the Mueller report. I know exactly what they did. So again, you can downplay it all you want, but it doesn't change the truth. The truth is, Russians meddled in the election. The truth is, Trump never held Russia accountable. And if you want to hold Democrats accountable for the Russians meddling, that's interesting. You can take that tactic if you want. That's not a road I'm going to go on. I would choose to hold Russia accountable. That's who I would choose. And the Mueller report was not a waste of time. The Mueller report actually did not even exonerate Trump. If you read it, it was William Barr who exonerated Trump. It was not the Mueller report. So there's a lot of revisionist history going on here. But I already stipulated that it did not impact the election. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. It doesn't mean they didn't try. And it doesn't mean that millions of Americans were not fooled by these stories. And there's some powerful lessons to be learned from all of it. And that is that we shouldn't be so willing to share, like, and pass on stories that are obviously too good to be true. And we don't take any time to find out the truth for ourselves. Michael says, it's difficult to feel sorry for non-vaccine people who are virtually responsible for the COVID rise. But it's their choice. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you can't get the vaccine because you have medical conditions, I certainly support you. If you are refusing to get the vaccine and denying the masses of research and information out there, I want you to have your freedom to choose. I really do. But I would like you to be aware of the far-reaching ramifications that you are heaping upon other people. You're doing it again, Mike. He says, "No, I want to hold Biden responsible for gifting the oil pipeline to Putin while killing it for Americans." And then he blames autocrat. He's kind of jumping to the next thing again. Call me crazy, but she's kind of jumped right to the next thing. David says, it's why I like your show, Jay. You don't just take talking points for your info. You actually do the research. Yeah, I would suggest, Mike, go back and read the Mueller report. There were some shocking things in there that were found about Russia, about Trump, about the Trump campaign. There's some shocking things in there. But instead of doing that, you could just attack Obama or Biden for something else that they did. Orion says, a Houston hospital fired 170 employees for refusing to get vaccinated. Yeah, we talked about that. It's a Methodist hospital. We talked about that last week or the week before that. And a judge has upheld that decision to be able to do that so far. So that will be interesting. Mike says, we can discuss it over dinner when you and yours visit. I'm looking forward to it, Mike. It's going to be an awesome dinner. So I'm absolutely looking forward to it. What else do you guys have? Anything else burning you up? That's really all I had tonight. I was just wondering if the president was going to come to the aid of Giuliani or Sidney Powell, the Kraken, or Mike Lindell, the my pillow guy, and wondering if they're going to parade all of their evidence into a court of law to prove to a judge that Dominion is everything that they said they were. I mean, what a golden opportunity. You've made all of these allegations about Dominion and foreign hacking and fixing. You have a chance to take it into a court of law and prove that everything that you said was true. Will you do it? It's kind of hard when the evidence isn't real. David Saunders says, blame Obama, blame Biden, pass the buck. You know, I don't have any problem with blaming Obama for the things he did wrong and blaming Biden for the things I have wrong. My problem is when you're pointing out what somebody else did wrong, and instead of acknowledging and accepting that, we just move on to the next person and make the attack. That's my problem. I try to come to you, and I've come to you recently talking about Vice President Harris's issues with the border and her ridiculous response when asked why she didn't go to the border. I brought to you Biden going after the reporter and then apologizing. I went after Biden's spending plan. You know, I don't have a problem. Man, when Obamacare was being presented, you should have heard me on the radio talking about how bad a piece of legislation I think that was and is. So I think we just have to, and I know David says he wasn't talking about me. I know, David. I'm trying to add to your point that is so often the knee-jerk response. Instead of internalizing, wow, somebody just countered something that I said and they're right. So I'm just going to attack somebody else or something else or divert. So we got to learn to try not to do that. It's very common in our world today. We got to try and solve that and not do that and recognize it when it happens. Do me a favor, become a patron of this podcast. Scan the flow code you see right there on the screen. Make a one-time donation, a monthly donation. Help me bring this to you on a regular basis. I've got so many big plans of other things that I want to bring to you, but I'm so busy doing all of the other things in my life to help pay the bills. The more patrons I get, the more I can focus on bringing you this information and doing those deep dives and that research. I would love to continue to do more of that. So you can help me out by going to jmcfarland.com and becoming a patron one time or monthly. And you can also help me out by subscribing wherever you're viewing this, liking it, sharing it, and helping us spread the word about what we do here on the show. And you can see I'm always tinkering. You see my animated banner across the bottom there. That's my latest fun addition. I don't know if it makes anything better or not, but it makes me feel like we're doing something. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I love your feedback. I hope that you are doing well. Let me know in the comments what else you'd like me to talk about. And other than that, I hope that you have a wonderful night. Good night, everyone. And this is where a graphic is supposed to come up. That... so you don't see my face anymore. Something like, is it this?